This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Public transportation isn't known for being luxurious. The seats are usually cold and hard. The trains are crammed with people during rush hour. The stations are often too hot, too cold, or kind of dirty. No wonder many people look at subways and buses as just a way to get from A to B in as little discomfort as possible. But next month, riders on some MBTA commuter rail lines will find something new to improve their ride. Silence. In January, the T will launch a trial run of so-called quiet cars on its Fitchburg and Franklin commuter rail lines. Quiet cars forbid cell phone calls and noisy electronic devices and even loud conversations. Quiet cars already exist in other cities, and they've become popular on Acela trains. Radio Boston's Jason Breslow visited the Back Bay T station recently and spoke to commuters about the T's quiet car plan.
Hi, my name's Jim. I ride commuter rail from Back Bay Station in Boston to Hyde Park, and I am totally in favor of a quiet car because I'm tired of people yelling in their cell phones. It's very, very annoying to somebody that's trying to read.
Hi, my name is Courtney, and I'm from Rehoboth, Massachusetts. I like to fall asleep on the train, so having a quiet car would be really beneficial.
My name's Ron Dion. I'm from Franklin, Mass. Generally, I have my own reading or work to do. I can't say that the noise bothers me that much.
My name is Frank, and I ride the commuter rail from Mansfield. These trains are particularly noisy. I even heard a woman breaking up with a boyfriend on the cell phone one day here. I said, my God, we don't need to listen to that stuff. So I think it's a terrific idea, and I hope they do it on all their trains.
Joining us now to talk about the new quiet car campaign and other T issues is MBTA General Manager Richard Davey. Rich, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And listeners, the head of the T is here in the studio to take your questions, any of your questions. So call him, call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So Rich Davey, obviously we want to talk about quiet cars, but first I have to ask you about a video that was caught on the T surveillance cameras that we have actually posted on our website, WBR.org. It shows this guy jumping over the turnstile at Park Street Station. I mean, it's kind of amazing. He vaults over, and you are there. Somehow you seem to materialize out of thin air.
Yeah.
It's unclear whether you pull him back over or somehow he sees you and voluntarily comes over, and then it looks like you lecture him while he listens. What happened?
Yeah, no, that's true. So I was getting on the red line yesterday because I was off to Ashmont Station for an event. And this fellow literally was, as you said, scaling the the fare gate, which is pretty high these days. So I didn't touch him, but I did yell at him. He stepped back down, and I did lecture him on the need to pay his fare.
And he stood there and got lectured.
He did. And then it was pretty obvious he didn't have a whole lot of money, so I offered to pay for him. And then he decided that, I don't know if it was a moral question or if he just was sick of hearing me, decided to wander off to go to the ticket machine on the other side of the station and buy it himself. So
it's kind of an amazing video because even though he looks like a tough guy, apparently, as you say, you didn't touch him. It was just the voice of authority was enough to make him come back and listen.
And I'm quite sure he didn't know who I was. I didn't tell him who I was. So I think it was probably, there's a little bit, just generally about the T. I think, civility and is important. We're trying to bring that back. It's tough because we have, 1.3 million people that ride the service and some don't abide by the rules of civility. We're going to talk about the quiet cars in a second. But that's, I think he was embarrassed, frankly, into climbing back over and then going on his way. So
you just talked about civility, and you've described the law of civility as being what you want people to obey with these quiet cars. And these, by the way, these are on the Acela, as I mentioned earlier.
That's
and
right.
I found some blog where they're mentioned as a semi-secret sanctum, the quiet cars. So tell us basically how this works. How many cars are going to have these things?
So what we did is the senior team and I have been out at stations the last 8 months. Listening to customers, talking to folks. In fact, there'll be a Braintree in a couple of weeks. But this came about. A couple customers approached us and said, we would really love quiet cars. We did a little research. Obviously, as you said, Acela has it. There are a couple other transit agencies that have it. So we polled our customers. Almost 5,000 people took the poll, and almost 90% said we want quiet cars. So we're launching it, as you said, on Fitchburg and Franklin for about 90 days to pilot it, and it will be on rush hour trains. So those trains are the most crowded and, in fact, would have the most. We'll pick one car. It's going to be the car closest to the locomotive, so there shouldn't be any surprise once the laws of civility will then be discussed. But that's what we want to do.
Closest to the locomotive because?
Just because it's the easiest to designate as opposed to the one.
So be clear, every time on every train, this
that's
is
right.
where it is.
That's the one. Okay. So because it's going to be hard for us. We move the cars around all the time, so putting up a sign is going to be difficult. So what we'll do is make announcements and let folks know that this is the car designated to be quiet.
And what will and won't be permissible?
Well, I think we describe it as sort of a library volume, right? So if you need to interact or talk to a fellow customer, perhaps in a whisper, we ask folks to not use their phones and to either, you know, sleep or read or just you know, maintain a sense of civility in that the rest of the customers in that car are looking for some peace and quiet.
What if you want to use your laptop, but it's so quiet that the tiny click, click, clicking is annoying the person near you?
I think that we would ask folks if they're going to use their laptops to find another car to do that. I mean,
really?
Yeah, I think so.
So this isn't even a quiet working train if you need a computer, potentially.
I don't think so. I think it really is an opportunity. I mean, a lot of folks don't, you know, do a lot of work. I mean, on the train, because we don't have those fold-out tables like an Acela train does, for example. But I think reading is obviously permissible. You know, resting and just sort of having a general sense of silence. I mean, one thing I always hear from folks is, you know, they're rushing into work. There's a lot of rush about their day, whether it's kids and family and work. If we can provide them with a sense of solace, a moment of sanctitude, as I think you mentioned earlier, that's what we're trying to get to with quiet cars.
This is Radio Boston, and we have in the studio today Rich Davey, who's the head of the MBTA in Boston. He's here to take any questions you may have, and we're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And Rich Davey, we have a caller from Billerica.
Great.
This is Chris calling from Billerica, and your thoughts about the quiet trains or anything else going on at the T?
Sure. How's it going? I just wanted to comment on the. I take the train in Boston, obviously, in and out of the city. I also travel to New York City to visit my fiance every weekend, and I end up parking in Connecticut and taking the train into the city. Long story short, all the trains from at least the line I'm on in New York City are pretty much quiet and enforced by the conductors. But I have to tell you, it makes for an excellent trip. You can relax. You can obviously, if you need to make a quick phone call here or there, it's permissible. But there's no loud conversation, and it's really dealt with very well by the conductors, and it just makes for a very pleasant experience because the trains are often crowded, and you can still have, you know, some time to think and some time to relax after work or anything like that.
Chris, thanks for that. Yeah. Rich Davey, how will you enforce this?
Well, I think two ways. One is that we'll ask our conductors to make announcements to remind customers. We'll probably arm them with a card or some kind of a pamphlet, which and to hand them, look, this is a quiet car. We're asking you to obey. And then the laws of civility, I think, will also encourage other customers to
peer
enforce
pressure.
It. That's right. No, I think that's exactly right. So for every, you know, for most of our trains, we have three or four conductors on, but six, seven, eight cars. So a conductor isn't on the car at every single time.
So at the end of 90 days, at the end of your trial period, how will you decide if it's successful? What determines success? And then will you expand them to other commuter rails or anywhere else?
That's a great question. So what we'll do at the end of the 90 days or even before is probably poll our customers on those quiet cars, talk to our conductors and see how it's being not only enforced, but also, and we'll see how crowded these cars are. I mean, if they are truly crowded and folks want them, then I expect they'll be successful given the poll numbers we got and given the feedback I've heard. I expect if I were a betting man that we will be rolling this out system-wide come the spring.
Rich Davey, we have a caller from Jamaica Plain. This is Eric. And Eric, your question for the head of the MBTA, Rich Davey.
Hi, Mr. Davey. My question, I mean, if we're concerned about, you know, noises, just the even the sound of a keyboard, I mean, then the trains themselves, I mean, aren't we going to at some point, you know, start worrying about the noises that the trains themselves are, you know, putting out there? I mean, where do we draw the line? That's really my question.
Sure. Well, a few things. And obviously, when you're moving thousands of pounds of equipment on rails and on the roads, we're concerned about that. The new buses we have, so you're in JP, the new buses that we have, particularly on the 39 route, the buses we bought with ARRA stimulus money are actually really quiet, so I hope you've noticed that. We're buying new wheels right now and testing those on the Orange Line. You want to know what the loudest places are on the system. I think it's Boylston Station, that curve, Government Center, and then over to Ashmont Station. So we've really been taking a hard look at our wheels to see if we can bring the sound of the wheels against the rail down. But look, this is heavy equipment. There is going to be some noise associated with it. I think as I think we heard earlier in the segment, what we're hearing from folks is not squeaky wheels, but folks breaking up with their fiancés on the train and sort of the TMI, right? Too much information on the train. And that's what we're trying to get at with the quiet car.
Rich Davey, head of the T, we have to take a short break, sure. But then we're going to have you afterwards. I want to ask you a quick question before we go, though, which is you said in your online survey about the quiet cars, 90% wanted them. Who are the 10 that don't?
I don't know. They didn't identify themselves, but I guess those will be the loud folks on the train.
This is Radio Boston. We'll be back after a short break with more from Rich Davey, head of the T, and we'll be here to take your questions at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're also live blogging this at wbur.org/Boston. We'll be back really soon. And so peaceful until you fall in love, simple, the sky up above, simple, is caving in.
And Ed, just listen to this. Completely silent.
How about that?
Silence. How about that? I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston. And right now we're talking with MBTA General Manager Rich Davey about the new quiet cars on the T's commuter rail, plus anything else you want to ask him. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Rich, before I ask you any more questions, we have a bunch of callers already and even some tweets.
Great.
And actually, let me turn to somebody who's written something on our live chat.
Sure.
This is a guy named Reggie who writes, why doesn't the T run later than it does? It would cut down on drunk drivers and give people a safer way home.
No, it's a good question, Reggie. I appreciate it. The problem is cost. So we ran Night Owl service starting in 2001. It was very costly. We tried, and that was on the rails. Then we started bus service in 05, and again, it was very costly. So quickly, you know, it costs $1.70 or $2 to ride the MBTA. What it really costs to run it is more like $4. But when you run late service, it costs like $9 or $10.
Because so many fewer people are riding that the money doesn't work the same way.
That's exactly right. And we still have to have generally, you know, the same amount of station agents out there, the same amount of police, in fact, more police, and the same amount of folks operating the system. So it is an expensive proposition. You know, we in better times, I think it's something we would consider, but it's not under serious consideration right now.
Rich Davey, head of the T, here's another question tweeted in from someone named Spencer Sermon. He says, love the bus and train tracking apps. When will we see this for the Green Line? In time before winter freeze?
Not this winter freeze, unfortunately. The one that we're working on right now is the commuter rail, because that is something that we can control. So I expect commuter rail to be launched early next year. The problem with the Green Line is that the signal system is so antiquated, and it's both above and below ground. The combination of those factors make it almost impossible with the current infrastructure we have today to do it, but it's something that we want to do in the future as we improve the signal system.
We also have a caller from Alston. This is Julia calling. And Julia, what's your question for Rich Davey, the head of the MBTA?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So the B line is kind of known for being late. I was wondering if there are any ideas on how to make it be more timely in the winter, especially since, you know, it's waiting outside, so you kind of start freezing. And I was also wondering if there was an idea of putting those outdoor kiosks that you kind of find on the E line, because sometimes it can be hard to find a place to tip up your card.
And Rich Davey, I'll add one thing about the B line, because I work on the B line, and of course there are hordes of Boston University students piling on and off, and further up line BC students. So that's a line that's sort of, in my view, notoriously slow, in part because so many students are getting on and off.
Well, and that and the stations are very close together,
yeah,
right? So
are.
I mean, that's a concern too. So I appreciate the question, Julia. A couple of things. One is, as you probably know, I hope you know, we added for the first time in 5 years 3-car trains on the B and D lines in the last 2 months. And we can do that out there because the platforms are long enough. We can't do it on C and E, but we did it on the B and D.
These are trains where literally you have added another car.
That's
so
right.
They're just longer trains.
That's
and
right.
More people fit on.
That's exactly right. So something that the T stopped in 05, we've started it now again to great success. And we're running those in particular in the rush hours around 8 o'clock or so, and then running them obviously in the evening. So that should help with the crowding. You know, to your point on the delays, you know, those trains should be running every 7, 8, 9 minutes on headways. you know, one of the issues that we've seen with the Green Line cars is that we marry the 8 and Type 9, or Type 8 and Type 7 cars, basically an old car and a new car, right? You always see an old car and a new car together. That's in part because we have to maintain our ADA compliance. The new cars have that low floor.
For people with disabilities.
That's exactly right. So, and the marriage sometimes has been difficult, just from a technological perspective. So we are seeing more breakdowns, frankly, on those Green Line trains.
Those cars you're talking about have the very
yes.
low platform,
that's
so
right.
someone can very easily, without barely having to step up, suddenly be on the train.
That's exactly right.
This is Radio Boston. We have in the studio today Rich Davey, who's the general manager of the MBTA. He's taking any questions or comments you have at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And Rich Davey, here we have a caller from Framingham. His name is Jeff. And Jeff, what's your question for the head of the T, Rich Davey?
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. And first of all, I wanted to commend you on your way of handling a person who had done a naughtiness. And maybe the other controllers who eventually will control people on the subway can adapt your methodology some way. But my question is, in New York on the subway, you can't operate a cell phone. There's no wired connection. Can you explain why that's there and not here?
And I should add, Rich Davey, that when I was riding the train underground recently, my phone rang, and I was shocked because I hadn't realized you could get service underground at that point.
Yes.
So this caller seems to be saying he would like to have cell phone service blocked, it seems. Maybe you can tell us where cell phone service status
is. Sure, sure. So the answer is we're actually moving forward with allowing cell phone service to happen. Because remember, it's not only cell phone service, but it's BlackBerry service, it's PDA kind of service. So that's something we're moving forward on, one, because a lot of our customers want it. Two, it's good for emergencies purposes. And frankly, three, we're able to raise money doing it. So we've been able to strike deals with wireless carriers to do that. You can use your phone anywhere in the Orange Line and in the downtown core, so Park Street, Government Center, for example. And we're slowly expanding that out. We're concentrating right now on the Red Line. So we're going, I think now, south toward both Ashmont and Braintree stations.
But, and that's where my phone rang on the Red Line.
Excellent. And it wasn't me calling to tell you that your phone works, but that's the direction we're going.
So that caller's question about possibly blocking cell service is definitely not the direction you're going.
Not the direction we're going.
We also have a caller from Newton. This is Richard. And Richard, your question for Rich Davey, general manager of the T.
Yeah, hi. You talked briefly about how dirty the subways are. In D.C., you get arrested if you carry food on the train. In Boston, they sell food in the stations. What's that all about?
Well, Rich Davey, that's true. You know, in some of the trains, you have these sort of fabric seats, and I've noticed
yes.
like soda spilled on them and gum on them, and I think it'd be easier to clean if they weren't fabric. So, yeah, why food on the T?
Well, a couple things. I don't know if you get arrested in Washington for carrying a donut on there, but with that said, you're right. Some transit agencies allow food and others do not. We do, in large part, that's been the history here. We obviously have several hundred vendors in the system right now. Again, non-fair revenue that sell food. It's something we've talked about internally. I think, again, that maybe goes back to the civility question. Carrying a cup of coffee in the train, not a problem. But, you know, I've seen folks kind of roll out four-course meals on their way. And, you wonder, is that what we want? With that said, on the cleanliness question, a couple things I want to mention. One is we started a new steam cleaning program inside the vehicles, both bus and the rail side. We've got these exciting new devices that really get to some of the gum and the grime that you talked about, and that has really paid dividends. We're going to eventually post some before and after pictures on what it looks like, but it's actually, I'm very excited about it. The other thing we're going to be rolling out soon is a new application to allow customers to take pictures either on stations or on trains if there's a cleanliness situation, a light bulb out, a pothole, something like that, so they can get that information to us. We can get it into our work order system and send a crew out to fix it.
Rich Davey, head of the T. We have a caller from Somerville. This is Chris. And Chris, your question for the head of the T.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm curious about the Green Line extension from the Leechmere stop out to Tufts University. I was just wondering when you think if it might be breaking ground sometime in the near future, and realistically, how quickly you think the progress will go.
Sure, sure. So on the Green Line extension, I think as folks know, but I'll just briefly explain, it's being funded by the state, but the MBTA will be obviously overseeing the construction and the operation eventually. We are right now in a procurement phase. We are hiring an oversight firm, someone to help us with this construction project. It's called a PMOC contract, something we put out to bid earlier this year. We're in final discussions with bidders. I expect to be bringing to my board of directors in the next 60 days a recommendation. That's a huge step forward to move that project along. In addition, we're also out doing community meetings and talking about what the station should look like, et cetera. So,
is the money in order to make that Green Line extension happen?
The money is being worked on, and in part, we're working with our federal partners to receive not only state funds, but also federal funds to make it happen.
So, Rich Davey, head of the mm-hmm. T, best case scenario, when could we see a Green Line out in Tufts and Medford and that whole area?
The best case is 2014.
That seems optimistic.
It's 2014, I should say 2014, 2015, in that realm. I don't think it's optimistic. It's a timetable that can be met as long as the milestones proceed.
Rich Davey, we just lost a caller, but I briefly saw his question, which was, is there any chance that bikes could be allowed on the trains at rush hour?
The answer is not really. And I say not really because the Green Line and the Red Line, I think any caller who's been on the Green and Red Line during rush hour will tell you that it's standing room only. The Blue Line is a place where I've received recent requests from some T riders, and we're studying that because we just went to 6 cars for the a couple of years ago. We may be able to loosen our restrictions there on the Blue Line, and the Orange Line is the same thing. It's just really crowded. One other thing I want to mention: 80% of our buses right now have now the bike racks on the nose.
On the front, right.
And in the next 12 to 18 months, every bus in the system will have a bike rack on the nose. So you should be able to use them there.
Rich Davey, head of the TU, also, maybe within the past year, introduced those standing room only cattle car type trains. I think they're called Big Red, where there are no seats. You just stand. Are those proving popular?
Actually, we introduced them several years ago. And we had, again, when I was out, my Join the GM sessions, a couple of customers told me.
These are sort of you make yourself available to the public.
Go out to the stations. A couple people said, you're crazy, get rid of them. So we did another poll online to see what our customers thought. And 66% of our customers said, keep them and put up more straps. So that's what we did. We kept them and we put up more straps. So there are two of these big red cars that
are
out there.
Just two.
That we run in the system during rush hour.
I've walked on them accidentally before, and the minute I see no seats, I get myself off there and onto a train that has one. But that's because I, have a longer trip. If I had a quick one, it wouldn't matter.
It wouldn't matter. No, and we try to announce it, so there should be announcements at stations to say to our customers, Big Red is coming.
We have a caller from Southie. This is Eric from South Boston. And Eric, your question for Rich Davey of the T. And actually, let me throw out a number one more time. If people have calls, we're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK for any questions you may have for the head of the MBT. So, Eric from South Boston, what's your question for the head of the T?
Hi there, Rich. Thanks. And I'd like to know, what can we do about mean bus drivers, rude bus drivers?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, let me flip it on its head and challenge you to, when you see a good bus driver, to thank them. And I say that because the vast majority of the men and women that work at the T are excellent. And I just want to say that. I mean, certainly, like every business in America, we have some employees who don't get it, who shouldn't be in customer service, but the vast majority are. So thank the ones you see that are doing a good job. For those that aren't, that may need an attitude calibration or maybe a new career, let me know. Email me, MBTA, GM at MBTA.com. And then finally, I'll just tell you proactively what we're doing is we're rolling out a new customer service training program. It starts actually Tuesday. It's called How Can I Help You Today? And it's a customer service training program that Jeff Mullen, the Secretary of Transportation, is getting us to do for every toll taker, RMV clerk, and bus driver. So it's going to be a Mass DOT-wide customer service training. And the last thing I want to say is that sits with the senior management. Some of my people haven't had customer service training in like 8 years, and that is wrong. So when I heard that when I got there, I said, that's it. We need a training program. We need to get our drivers out of the seats and give them a little time to get some more training, frankly, to decompress. Those are stressful jobs. Listen, drive around Boston. I hate driving around Boston. Some of these folks drive 14 hours a day, every day, on the streets of Boston. It is a tough job.
That might make me mean and rude.
It might. So it's a tough job. So
I want to repeat that email address you just threw out. You said GM at MBTA.com.
That's
People can email to the T.
You can also tweet me at MBTAGM.
MBTA-GM. Yep. You know, one of our producers, Adam Ragusea, made this comment this morning that he feels that in your tenure, you've made these small, relatively inexpensive changes that have a lot of impact on the user experience. We've talked about some of them today. And I'm also thinking about you put these red box movie rental, dollar movie rental kiosks in some spots. You're beefing up bike at the Alewife station. There's like a locked bike.
Pedal and park.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
right.
Is that part of how you think of your job? Things yeah. that may, that, you know, that, I don't, some of these are revenue producing,
sure.
but minorly.
You know, I think that's right. I mean, given the budget constraints that the state is under, that we're under at the MBTA, you know, I can't go out and buy new Red Line cars right now, right? I can't go buy new Orange Line cars. That's $1 billion. And so, but I've told my team, listen, don't use that as an excuse to sit back. What are some of the things we can do? Another small change we made, double-decker commuter rail coaches were never run on the north side of Boston. You would never see one leaving North Station. We changed that 2 months ago. So now some of our customers on the north side are seeing that. That cost us no money whatsoever. It was just a policy change. The Green Line 3 cars cost very, you know, small amounts of money that we can absorb in our budget. So, and I think the other thing is us, you know, me and the team getting out and riding the system, seeing it from a customer's perspective and listening to our customers, that has really brought, I think, a wholesale change in our perspective on what we need to do.
I also want to read a tweet we got from someone sure. named John. I think his last name is pronounced Cho. He says, why is it going to take, quote, a few years, end quote, to have screens that track where Green Line cars are? I love the status screens at the back bay.
Because what we're streaming there is essentially what our operations control center sees, and it's based on the signal system. What we have today is the Green Line is essentially operates like traffic signals on the street, meaning what? A red light comes up, but a car could decide to disobey it, and there's no, you know, the car is not going to interact with the light and then stop it like we have on our heavy rail side. So remember, the Green Line was certainly dug and constructed 100 years ago. It's a very old and antiquated signal system. So that's the problem. It's a lot more than just unlocking data like we were able to do on the heavy rail side. This is a wholesale change in how we dispatch and operate the Green Line.
We have a caller from Scituate, so a suburban caller. This is Leslie from Scituate. And Leslie, your question for Rich Davey, the head of the MBTA.
Yes, I was wondering if you had considered partnering with maybe some of the local colleges like Wentworth, where they have a design department, to maybe modify the waiting area on the platform at some of your outdoor waiting areas. Because I know, for example, that the Quincy Adams station is freezing. I mean, the wind just whips through there, and there's the stairwell that goes down. Even if you try standing there supposedly out of the wind kind of comes in and goes out the other end. And I'm just thinking, you know, that might be a way that would be very cost-effective for you, but it could be something that could be done as a project, you know, with these design students.
Thanks for that, Leslie. And, you know, of course, many of the Green Line platforms are that way, too. You are totally exposed to the elements in the
right.
winter when you're waiting for a train.
No, it's a great question, Leslie. I haven't thought of that, but I appreciate the suggestion, and we will for the Red Line. I could tell you on the Silver Line, what we've been doing is adding windscreens at the locations and actually heaters now. So if you're standing on the Silver Line location on Washington Street, you can push a button and a heating lamp will come on for 5 or 10 minutes. So we've used our stimulus money to do that. So we've been trying to pick our sweet spots, if you will. Green Line's a little more challenging because the platform is so narrow, and we have to be conscious of allowing our customers and wheel mobility devices to get by. So that's why windscreens out there, particularly on Comm Ave and other spots, is so challenging. So, but I like the idea. The Red Line, Wentworth, we'll reach out to them. That's a great idea. Thank you.
Rich Davey, head of the T. We have a call from Hyde Park, and this is Tim. And Tim, your question for the head of the T.
Yes, I would like to ask about the status of the Fairmont line. The station siting issue in the area between Logan Square and Morton Street, there is no access for the residents in that area along River Street, and I'd like very much to know if you could speak to what the status is on getting some access for the residents in that area.
Sure, Tim. You sound like a familiar voice. I may have heard you at some community meetings, but I appreciate the question. And the MBTA, or the state actually, has committed to building 4 new stations along the Fairmont line. We are in construction on 2. We're going to break ground on a third shortly. And there's a fourth, which there are some community residents who disagree with the siting, so we've been working with them on that. River Street's a challenge because we don't have the budget right now to add a fifth station on the line. So, you know, I think in the future, that's a place that we would look at. There's a couple other station possibilities I think other community members would like, but that's certainly a possibility, but not one that's currently under construction.
Rich Davey, head of the MBTA, thank you very much for coming back in the studio. There's clearly a lot of people that have a lot of questions for you every
My
time
pleasure.
You come in. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.